Good evening. So glad that we could be together once again on this Sunday evening for worship services, in which I mentioned we're going to be talking about that word consistency. And as you might have thought about that maybe this afternoon, of what if there's actually a word in the Bible that says consistency? Well, the fact of the matter is, you're not going to find that word in the Bible. Consistency is defined by Webster's New World Dictionary as acting or thinking always in the same way, in agreement or harmony, suitable, whereas his words are not consistent with his acts. People are many disclosed as being unpredictable because they lack consistency. Have you ever known an unpredictable person? You just sometimes don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going, especially if you're going to meet up with them somewheres. Some days might be on time, some days might not be on time. You know, in doing evaluations and things at work, that's one of the ideas of consistency. Are they consistent in carrying out their duties on a daily basis? And we think about that, especially, you know, not just the physical world, once again, but we're going to get down to it here, spiritually speaking. And that you will not find the word consistency in the Bible. However, we find that the Bible has much to say about the subject of consistency. And we'll see that as we go along. Consistency is a living model of patience, determination, strength, regardless of shifty, rootless times. And I want you to think about those words that's up there. Patience, determination, strength. Because here in just a little bit, when we get towards the end of the lesson, we're going to see a character from the Old Testament who showed patience, determination, and strength regardless of the shifty, rootless times he was living in. Very interesting that we'll note. We find that one has called it a jewel, consistency. And another has called it an anchor of iron. Now, once again, as we go through this lesson, you might be able to come up with some other words that go along with it. But as you think of those kind of words and such, it actually thrives, consistency thrives on sacrifice and unselfishness. Think about those words as well. Sacrifice and unselfishness. Well, especially when we get to the biblical character here in just a little bit. And it is noted as an obvious mark of maturity. Think about that. Maturity. We all know that as Christians, that we are to be working towards something. Just like 2 Peter 1, I mean, we know those verses, verse 5, when it says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, by the kindness, love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's an adding. It's a growth process. We talked about that this morning from 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know, how often, as we talked about this morning, do I desire the sincere milk of the word? Because if I don't have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, then I'm not consistent with it, am I? I'm showing a lacking thereof. And you'll see this. Once again, we'll put the scripture up here of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice verses 1 and 2. Paul told Timothy, I said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing and his kingdom. In verse 2 it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, those words, matter of fact, they ring out and speak absolute volumes to us. And for good reason. This is actually a verse that was written to me in a card. And actually it was a long letter for that matter in the envelope when I first left home at 18 by Andy Addison because he knew I was going out to preach there at James at the early age of 18. And he was worried, you know, because he had experienced many things in his time as a preacher himself. And he said these very words were actually written down in the letter, word for word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And then, you know, one of the first verses that I memorized was that one right there and kept it with me. But it's not just for preachers. It's for Christians. That's what it's for. For all of us to keep on keeping on. In season and out of season, be instant. He is talking about taking a stand upon it or up to it, carry on and stick to it. It doesn't matter what happens today or tomorrow. Once again, we're talking about those rootless, shifty times, right? We know that life has its ups and it has its downs. Just like a mountain has its peaks, but it also has its valleys. We understand that physically, spiritually, it wears upon us. So tomorrow, if things don't go the way that I think they should go, guess what? Am I still going to take a stand on the right side? Am I still going to uphold my moral convictions in my life? That's something we have to ask ourselves on a daily basis. At what cost am I willing to stick to something? You ever thought about that? At what cost? What will it cost you? And Brother Joe brought this up in a Bible class a little while back in our study. And if it doesn't cost us something, then we can't call it a sacrifice. That's true. If it doesn't cost us anything, just like David in all of his turmoil and problems that he had in his life, you can see where he did take a stand. Once again, he had his problems. But when he was there, after he took that sentence in which he was not supposed to, and he went to go make a sacrifice at the threshing floor of Arauna, you know what he said? The priest said, here, take it. It's free. But in Samuel 24 and 24, guess what? He said, I will offer unto God nothing of that which cost me nothing. That is what we call, from this morning as well, that word conviction. That shows someone who has a heart and mind and affection on things above, who once again, as Nathan was singing that, leading that song for us, leading us in it, standing on the promises of God. Is it only standing on the promises when, well, things are working out for me? Carry on or be consistent if things are good or if they are bad. There are biblical characters that show us consistency. Some work well under easy circumstances. We all love easy circumstances. That's the great part. I've used this before. When we was out there in the middle of Toledo Bend, the boat motor decides to quit. See, it was nice and easy in that sun when you're going around the lake at Mach 5 is what I would say, because that boat wouldn't go Mach 9. But you would sit there and you would fly around corners and things, you know, it, not really fly, but anyways, you feel that breeze and it felt so nice and you'd stop and you'd fish and then, oh, it's getting a little hot, so guess what? Crank that motor up and that's nice. When the motor quit, though, who my brother said it was fixed to begin with, I believed him for a little bit until it quit. And then we had to get the paddles out and do what? Hard circumstances came upon us. And now we have to put forth some effort. Now we sit there, we're concerned, are we going to get in before dark? Is another concern. But whether it's easy or whether it's hard, we come to find that Christians must adapt to whatever circumstance they are in. That's truly, you know, you think about working in the field. You know, you think about, you know, I was talking to, you know, with Justin McCorkle last night. And that guy's prepared for anything. Okay, he is what I'm calling MacGyver. Okay, if there is any situation or circumstance that's going to happen, and if he listens to this right now, listen on the website later on, it's okay. I won't tell all his tricks and trades or secrets and all that. But he's a guy that I would like to have on my side. I'm telling you. Man, I called him, what was it, Go-Go Gadget last night? The man's got everything. Because he's instant, in season, out of season. You know, you get the idea? No matter what happens, he's prepared and he can adapt to any situation that comes his way. That's kind of interesting, you know, physically. Spiritually speaking, are we able to adapt? How many times do we've been talking about this, about prayer in our Bible class and in our study guides, and when it comes down to it, what's the nation do when something bad happens? Pray. It's all the time. It's sudden. Let's pray for it, right? What happened about the preparation before that? You know, hope for the best. You remember hearing that? Hope for the best, prepare for what? The worst. What kind of mindset do I have? And do I have that character of adapting? That's what Paul was telling Timothy. It doesn't matter what comes your way in whatever season it's going to be. You need to be in season, out of season. You need to reprove, you need to rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. See, that's a key word in that scripture, right? All long-suffering. It didn't matter how far it got, just like we find in Revelation 2 and verse 10. Even, he said, be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. It's easy to say that, right? It's easy to say, I'm going to be faithful to death. It's easy to say it, but when death is staring you in your face and they're about to crucify you, persecute you, whatever you want to think of, word that especially they were dealing with in the intense persecution at that time, how many of us would have stood right there and said, let's do it? See, that's really a good self-examination, isn't it? It's easy to say, I'm a Christian, but when it comes down to it, hard times, what kind of measures will we take it to? Are we able to long suffer, even if it meant death for what we believe in? It's a good question. I want you to consider someone with me. This is a New Testament lady here that we are familiar with. And like I said, it fits to this very degree of what we're talking about. And Luke chapter 21, and just four verses there, just to notice. And like I said, you'll know exactly when we start reading along here and just see first few verses, you'll see that here's this widow and her two mites, right? And notice verse 1. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. I want you to think about what we just mentioned about sacrifice. She put in everything that she had. That was truly what we would consider a sacrifice, wouldn't we? Especially as a widow in that time. Did they have much help? Nope. Not at all. The widow was not only poor, but she had few resources for making money to begin with. Her small amount given was truly what we would call a sacrifice. And Jesus is shown here admiring her generosity and her sacrificial gift. And as Christians, we must consider our lives. Can we actually say that it's sacrificial? Are we actually seeking opportunities at every corner of every day for whatever reason, once again, wherever we're at? whether of money, time, or talents. Like I said, we've mentioned this before in the Bible class. It doesn't have to be monetary value. What about our time and talents? What we can do for the kingdom of God? Is it costing us something every single day? If it's not, then we can't call it a sacrifice. Can we say that we have moved past mere convenience and safety? Okay, we understand that in the times of persecution, these individuals had to take a stand and say, you're either on this side or you're on that side. There was no riding the line, right? There was no, you know, putting your legs over it and say, okay, I'm going to stay right here and I'll kind of bend towards them for a little bit and I'll bend towards them. You know, it didn't work that way. You didn't see the Apostle Paul do that. He was about keeping on. You don't see those apostles and disciples mere convenience and safety. Now, there was some disciples, remember, when Jesus was going off to be crucified, that they walked with him how long? No more. Their walk with him was over. Whose side did they choose then? That goes back to the first chart, right? Talking about selfishness. I'm not willing to sacrifice for this cause and for this purpose. So that shows that under the hard circumstances, they were not able to adapt to it and make it worthwhile for the cause. This widow, she was at the heart of the matter. Jesus could see, once again, what her heart was doing. Her heart was in the right place to begin with. And if our heart's in the right place, then we're going to see every day us making progress and growth. Not because it's convenient, not because it's safe territory that we're on, but because we have conviction. Because we're actually looking for opportunities to teach. We're looking for opportunities to show people the gospel and to show them, I'm going to take a stand for this no matter what it costs me in the end. Physically speaking, that's sacrifice. Think about this as well. Don't grow weary while doing good. That's a verse, and you might already picked it out there from Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 10. We venture over there to Paul at Galatia, talking to those at Galatia in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. We know how easy that is for humans to be deceived. But it says, if God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, okay, there's the opportunity thing again, right? Let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. It is discouraging to continue to do right and receive no feedback or see any tangible results. Wouldn't you agree? That's a hard thing. I mean, if we're not getting feedback, if we're not getting some type of, or seeing visually some tangible result, we get discouraged. You know, when we think about it once again, as we became Christians, when we came out of that watery grave of baptism, we arose to walk in this life. And as Christians, we were so zealous for good works. And we're going out there to, just like they did in the first century, they were going to turn the world upside down. And that's what they were doing under intense situations. And then what happens? I don't see any tangible results. I'm not getting any feedback. So what do? I'm just going to come to church. I'm just going to maybe be here Sunday morning. I'm just not sure. You know, if I want to spend extra time and be able to make it any other service or, you know, and on a daily basis, I don't know. Studying the Word of God, you know. There's all kinds of things. that, you know, runs through your mind, and you look back and you think about, have we come to the point where we look like this guy? You know, I look like him when the bills come. But then I think, you know, I'm thankful for the things I have in this life and then the money that we have to pay for these things. So I guess, you know, when you think about it, it's just like thinking, man, I sure do hate to mow the grass. But guess what? I'm glad to have a yard to have grass to mow. Well, not right now since no rain. But, which is also a blessing in a way, you know, you can think of the good side there too. Clothes. Man, we hate to do laundry, don't we? But how thankful we are that we have clothes to wear. Think about it. We get stressed out in life. It's so easy to become discouraged and let things weigh on our mind, especially when we're not looking at it in an optimistic type way. Paul challenges the Galatians to continue anyways in doing right. If you don't see anything, do it anyway. Keep on doing it. Because according to what verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. We will reap if we maintain consistency. See, there's the word that we're talking about. Think about it. If we're consistent in our daily walk with God. Not just when things are easy, but even when times get hard. Here's another one. I believe that we consider it a stabilizer, right? We think about the support beams and such that we need in our lives. James chapter 1, in our relationships. James chapter 1, and notice verses 3 and 4. Now, verse 2, we'll add that one in as well. Verses 2 through 4 of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Right? See, how many times do we look at temptations and problems as actually being something that we can learn from, something we can produce from, patience-wise? James saw it as a stabilizing trait, which he called endurance. Remember that word, long-suffering? Remember that word, determination, earlier? Think about the word strength. How do we get strong? How do we get fast? You know, when you think about physically in shape, since we've been talking about spiritual junk food over the last three Sundays, we work on it and work on it and work on it. We cannot know the depth of our character until we see how we react under pressure. I want you to think about that one. You can think of the absolute worst situation that you could be faced with today. The worst. And I know that you could talk to people and they would say, man, you know, if it come down to it, I'd stand right in front of that gun. When that gun comes out, what happens? They shriek and run. Or they give up, whatever it is. People say one thing, but when they're face to face with it, what happens? It's the pressure now. And the way that we as Christians will react to certain things is whether we've prepared ourselves or not. If I don't study my Bible like I need to study my Bible, guess what? Something happens worldly. Temptation occurs. Trials occur. I'm not going to be prepared to face it. And I'm going to give in so easy. Every single time. How far are we willing to go to make sure that we're prepared that when tough times do occur, because it's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if they will, but it's a matter of when they will occur. We all understand that. What's the depth of our character? What have we faced? God desires for all of us to become mature. How many of us consider and think about opportunities for growth, just like it says in James chapter 1. Count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do we look at it as a stabilizer? Something that's helping us in our growth process to become mature? We're going to look at an example from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. We're going to close the lesson. If you think about these words that we're putting out here this evening, I want you to think about Joseph for just a moment. Like I said, we all know the story of Joseph, and it goes from Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50. He is one of those characters that is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Like I said, if you put yourself in his sandals and think about what he faced, how would you react? Attitude. You know, everything. Qualities that, you know, of character. Joseph, as we know in the scriptures, developed strong character and deep wisdom in his life. If you haven't read about Joseph lately, I submit to you, read Genesis 37 through 50. Think about him and what he went through. Because as we sum it up, really, we know that he was betrayed, right? We know that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was deserted. He was exposed to temptation, being a Potiphar's wife. He was punished for doing what was right. He endured long imprisonment and forgotten by those he helped. Imagine this going on in your life. If he was anyone to have an excuse as to, he should be the guy holding his nose and going, man, this is just not worth it. Just give up, call it quits, who cares? But he had such a different attitude towards things. Amazing attitude. Joseph's positive response transformed each setback into a step forward. Have you ever looked at it that way? That really it's nothing more than a stepping stone for progression and growth? Because that's the way he looked at it. You see that in his life. Joseph did not spend much time asking the question why. He didn't sit there and ask that question why. Rather, his approach was on being consistent in response to the circumstances. That's the importance of it all, is being consistent in it. Notice Genesis 41 and verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? No, that's a very interesting question. Would that question ever come up in someone's mind towards me or towards you in this lifetime? When my life ends upon this earth, would that be something that might be in the minds of other people saying, you know, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is, who is allowing Jesus to abide in him and he was abiding with Jesus? That he had that type of mentality, whether thick nor thin, he was going to take a stand for what is right and what is good. Well, we're told to be just like Joseph. No matter whether we're betrayed or whether whatever happens, to be consistent. Because Jesus himself was consistent. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's consistency. As a Christian, can I say that I'm as consistent yesterday with Jesus as I am today, as far as my stance and my belief and my love and my devotion to him for his cause? Consistency is an attractive, magnetic characteristic of Christ. When we need him, even when we don't think we need him, he is there every time, every corner. Because, as we mentioned before in Bible classes, he's never moved, has he? He has remained the same place the entire time. And we know that the one who moves is me. I'm the one. that moves. But He's always there. Think about those individuals. I said a brief synopsis of some things. We won't go into great depth with it. Study about it. Think about that word consistency as we saw tonight. Because we close the lesson, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 tells us that for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving, not leavening. There's a mis. That Microsoft Word is bad. Leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. Okay? Leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. That's what He did. He left us an example. Now, can I say that I'm consistent like He is, and I am following in His footsteps all the way to the heavenly portals? Our consistency is what will enable the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because that's what faithfulness is, isn't it? It's about consistency. So we have to ask ourselves, is commitment, determination, strength, are those words that characterize my life in regards to Jesus? Am I proving myself to be consistent in every circumstance of life? Consistent, enduring, steadfast in the Lord's Word. If not, then we're not following in His steps. We're not doing what He wants us to do. And we need to make that change and make that right. As you get your psalm books ready, that word consistent, I read the definitions once again for us. Acting or thinking always in the same way. In agreement or harmony, suitable. Would we be considered an unpredictable Christian? Really sounds weird, just like the junk food Christian lessons. It sounds weird to be called an unpredictable Christian. Although there are people that call themselves Christians today, they're not, due to their unpredictableness and their lack of consistency. I hope that that's not us, but we are living of patience, determination, strength, once again, regardless of shifty, rootless times. If we're here and we're subject to the invitation, the song of encouragement, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected.